Today we are starting a four-week sermon series on living by faith, which means trusting all that God promises us in Christ Jesus. And I want to share with you why this topic, or one of the reasons why this topic is so important to me. When I was a teenager, God, by His mercy and grace, opened my eyes to see that He is real, that He is the greatest joy in the universe, that I had sinned against Him, turned my back on Him, walked away from Him, but that Jesus Christ could save me, forgive me, and restore me to God. It's beautiful. And so I put my trust in Jesus. I turned from my sin, trusted Jesus Christ, and God poured His glory into my heart, His presence upon me, His joy, His reality. I had been saved by faith. But for some reason, I didn't know that I was supposed to live by faith. I'd been saved by faith, wasn't clear about living by faith. So instead of living by faith, I tried to live by my own efforts. So I tried to live the Christian life by my own efforts. And that worked okay when it came to like outer actions. Like I could go to church. I could make myself do that. I could read the Bible. I could choose to pray. But when it came to what was happening inside my heart, I did not do very well. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't crush my pride or my lust or my greed or my competitiveness. And so while on the outside everything looked fine, inside my heart, sin in my heart was growing more and more. My love for Christ was shrinking more and more. And it was a difficult time for me. Now, this will sound strange, but I knew God was calling me to be a pastor at the same time. That's another story for another time, maybe. But I knew God was calling me to be a pastor. And when I finished university, I went to the seminary that my father taught at and took a number of his classes. And he'd probably taught me this when I was growing up, but I wasn't that interested then. Now, I was interested. I was desperately interested. I knew something was wrong. And he taught me that we're not just saved by faith, but that we're also called to live by faith. That faith isn't just where you start and then you graduate onto something else. No. The Christian life starts with faith and it continues with faith from start to finish. He taught me that. And so I saw that in the scriptures. He gave scripture after scripture to back that up. I was persuaded. And I started learning God's promises and seeking to trust God's promises. And this didn't happen overnight, but the Holy Spirit started working and changing my heart. There was power over sin that I had not had before. Love for Christ was being rekindled. Joy in Christ was being restored. Again, it wasn't easy. It was a fight, like Paul says. It's called the fight of faith. So it took some time, and it still is taking time. I'm not there yet. We're battling every day. But to live by faith, understanding that faith means trusting all that God promises us in Christ, those truths from God's word changed my life. And that's what I'm hoping God will stir in our hearts, maybe for the first time or maybe afresh in these next 4 weeks, living by faith. So let's start by asking this question. How do we live the Christian life? How are we supposed to live the Christian life? You've already heard my answer. We're supposed to live by faith. But I want you to ask yourself, how have you been living the Christian life? This last week, how have you been living the Christian life? those times when you found yourself worried or fearful, what did you do? Or when you were struggling to forgive someone, what steps did you take? Or when you felt sin, temptation rising in your heart, what did you do? This last week, how did you live the Christian life? What I hope you'll see this afternoon from God's word is that we're to live the Christian life by faith, seeing that that's how we live it, and then to unpack what that means. Where is that taught in Scripture? One of the clearest verses is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We're going to be looking at a number of different scriptures this afternoon. The first one, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Lots of truths in this scripture, but let's read the whole thing. I'm going to point out one truth in particular. It's the one that's underlined. There it is. Okay, Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, get this next line, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul lived the Christian life by faith. He was saved by faith, and he lived by faith. Faith from start to finish. That's what Paul did. So what does that mean to live by faith? Well, if you just think about the words, like if you're going to live by honesty, that means you always try to be honest, right? Or if you live by punctuality, you always try to be punctual. That's what it means. So if you live by faith, it means you're always seeking to have faith. So what would that look like? What does that mean to have faith? What is faith? Here's the definition that I found helpful. It's what my father taught me. I think it's right in the Bible. Faith means trusting all that God promises us in Christ Jesus. Faith means trusting all that God promises us in Christ Jesus. Three crucial words in that definition. The first word is trusting. Now to see that, I want you to look at James chapter 2, verse 19. It's a shocking verse if you've not read this before, but such a crucial truth is in this text. James 2:19. Here's what James writes. He says, you believe that God is one. That's what the Bible teaches. There's one God in three persons. So James says, you believe that God is one, you do well. It's good that you believe that. It's true. Even the demons believe that truth, and they shudder. What is James saying here? He's saying there's a kind of believing. There's a kind of faith that even demons have. But demons do not have saving faith. They're not saved. There's a kind of faith that they have that's not saving. What is that? Their faith is just agreeing to truths about God. They know that God is one. They know that God is sovereign. They know that God is holy. They're agreeing to all these truths about God. They agree with truths about God, like the truth that God is one, but those truths make them shudder. So their believing is just agreeing to truths. And why aren't they saved? Because that's not saving faith. It is not saving faith. Saving faith is not just agreeing with truths about God. Saving faith means trusting God. It means depending on God. It means relying on God. It's trusting. And that's what demons will never do. They hate God. They hate what they know to be true about God. Saving faith means trusting God. So ask yourself, Do you just believe the right truths about God and about Jesus? He's the Son of God, born of a virgin, died on the cross. Do you just believe truths about God? Or are you relying on God and what he's done through Christ? Are you depending upon God and what he's done through Christ? Are you trusting God and what he's done in Christ? That's saving faith. Oh, I hope if some of you are just believing truths, I hope a light's going on in your heart right now saying, whoa. And I hope you do say, whoa. We don't want you to be shuddering. We want you to be saved. Saved by trusting him. Trusting. Saving faith means trusting God. That's the first crucial word in that definition. Trusting. But trusting God for what? What do we trust God for? What do we trust God to do? That's the second crucial word, and faith means trusting all that God promises. It's his promises. To see that, I want you to look at Romans 4, 18 through 22, which Krishna just read for us. Here's the background of this passage. God had promised Abraham that he would become a great nation. He'd have many, many, many descendants, many offspring, many children. But years had gone by, and Sarah had not gotten pregnant. So in Genesis 15, we read that one night God showed Abraham all the stars. Abraham, look, all those stars I made, look at them, all of them. And then God said, so shall your descendants be. See all those stars? Lots and lots of stars. So shall your descendants be, Abraham. And then in Genesis 15, 6, we read, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Super important passage here. Now, Romans 4, 18 through 22, Paul wants to have us understand more of what it meant for Abraham to have faith in God. And one of the key aspects I want you to see is how often Paul repeats the word promise in these verses, or in addition to repeating the word promise, he describes what the promise is. So let's read verses 18 through 22, Romans 4, 18 through 22, and notice all the times we see a reference to the promise. Verse 18, in hope, he, Abraham, believed against hope. Now, pause there. What that means is, in hope in God, he believed against any kind of human hopes. Not putting my trust in what humans can do. Hope in God against human hopes. So in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. There's the content of the promise, what the promise is about. That he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, here's the direct promise quoting from Genesis 15, so shall your offspring be. See all the stars, Abraham? So shall your offspring be. A direct promise right there. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning what? The promise of God. But he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what? What he promised. And that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. This shows us that faith means trusting what God has promised. Now, seven verses earlier in Romans 4, verse 12, Paul calls us to walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had. You ever gone to the beach and like somebody's in front of you walking and you think, I'm just going to walk in their footsteps. You just, you know, follow along, walking in their footsteps. You've done that? That's what Paul wants us to do when it comes to Abraham's faith. See the footsteps of Abraham's faith? Walk in those footsteps. And what we see when we say, well, what did it mean for Abraham to have faith? He trusted God's promise. That's what Abraham put his trust in. Abraham trusted what God had promised to do for him. If you think about it, unless faith has a promise that it's holding on to, at best, it's just kind of vague, like, you know, God's going to work it out, or I've got this, or kind of vague, ambiguous generality. If your faith isn't latched onto a concrete promise that God actually spoke, then at best, it's vague and weak and ambiguous. At best. It's vital that our faith be focused on the spoken promises of God, just like Abraham's was. It's a vital lesson for us. So where do we learn what God has promised us? Where do we find these promises? Now, God spoke directly to Abraham in Genesis 15. And God can speak by the Holy Spirit to us. It's called a gift of faith in the New Testament, where he stirs your heart with something that he's going to do. And so you know he's going to do this. And so as you pray, as you step out, he does it. It's a gift of faith. God can speak promises to you. But elders were talking about this morning. We need to be careful when that happens and very discerning, because maybe you've experienced this. It's so easy when you really want something to happen to start to think, that must be the Holy Spirit giving me a gift of faith. You ever experienced that? So easy to do. But that is one way that God can give his promises. But that's not the main way that God gives us promises. There's a much more clear way that's easy to discern what he's promising us, and a much more powerful way, and that's by finding his promises in the Bible, in the scriptures. The Bible is full of promises, beautiful promises, glorious promises, and that's the most clear place we're going to find God's promises to us. That's the most powerful way we'll hear his promises spoken to us, because those are the written words of God. Holy Spirit inspired those. As we look at them, as we trust them, power, clarity, power, and lots of promises. That's what we want. So learn God's promises, Grace Church. I think Spurgeon said, faith needs a promise like your feet need ground to walk on, or something like that. Does that make sense? Spurgeon's brilliant. It makes sense. So you need, you know, to walk, you need something to stand on. Faith needs a promise to stand on. Otherwise, it's just kind of floating out there. You know, it's got to land on a promise. A promise. A promise. Learn God's promises. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Maybe have a page in your notebook where you're jotting down promises as you discover them. Let me give you four examples of promises from the Bible, just to know what we're talking about here. Look at Acts 10, 43. They'll be up on the screen. I love this promise. Everyone who believes in Jesus, that means trusting, right? We're trusting all that God's promised in Jesus. Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the best news in the world. We've all been sinners, like we've been thinking about, praying about, celebrating communion, thanking the Lord for forgiveness. We've all been sinners. We've all desperately needed forgiveness of sins. And everyone who believes in Jesus receives complete forgiveness for all of our sins. Oh, what an amazing thing. I've got to go through these. I can't talk about any of them too long. But anyway, think about that one more. Look at this next one. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That is an amazing thing, church. Every need. Isn't that amazing? Every single need you will ever have, God will provide for you. Doesn't mean you're all going to become billionaires. In fact, if you read earlier in Philippians 4, you'll see that that means that there's times in Paul's life where he had lots, and there's times where he had little. But God always met his needs, and God will always meet your needs. Look at this next promise, Psalm 94:19. When the cares of my heart are many, there's times when we have many, many cares weighing us down. Some of you maybe are feeling like that tonight. You have many cares. Sorrows, griefs, disappointments, difficulties, heartbreaks, but listen to this promise, church. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations. That means your comforts, your encouragements, God meeting you as you seek Him. Your consolations, God, cheer my soul. Every time you have many cares in your heart and you seek the Lord, His consolations will cheer your soul. What a God we have. What an amazing promise He's given to us. And then one last one, John 4:14. Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him. Now, that's living water we're talking about here, okay? This is living water. This is the presence of the Holy Spirit, making God the Father's presence real to you and Jesus the Son's presence real to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him. When you come and you drink of the work of the Holy Spirit, you open up the Word, you're praying, make Jesus real to me. Show me the Father. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. Talking about heart thirsts. Thirsts for joy, for security, for peace, for meaning, for purpose, for what is all the different heart thirsts that we have, the insecurities and the frustrations and the disappointments. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. As long as you keep drinking, we're going to not be thirsty. We do stop drinking from time to time, too often, but whoever drinks will never be thirsty again. There's just four of them. Aren't those four amazing? And the Bible is full of promises. You've got a treasure chest of promises in your Bible. Faith means trusting all that God promises us. But the definition is not yet complete because it doesn't answer a $1 million question. How is it possible for God to fulfill His amazing promises to a sinful person like me? How can God do that? And the answer is Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God, did you see that word all there? It's very important. How many of them? All of them. Just make sure you're reading. Okay. All the promises of God find their yes in Him, in Christ. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. Jesus died on the cross, paying for all the sins of everyone who puts their trust in Him. So because you're trusting Jesus Christ tonight, here's what this means. This week, maybe you are weighed down with cares. When the cares of your heart are many, remember that promise? His consolations will cheer your soul. And you're thinking, okay, here's this promise, Psalm 94:19. Father, I'm going to trust this promise. I'm full of cares. I'm seeking you for your consolations. And when God sees you trusting that promise because you're trusting Christ, He says, yes. You're trusting a promise? He says, yes. And because you're trusting Jesus, every single time you trust a promise, God says, yes, 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 yes. And He'll do that for you too, and for every single person who's trusting Him. Never will a believer in Christ hear no. Not one no. It's yes, yes, yes to trusting every single promise. As many as may be the promises of God, or for all the promises of God, find their yes in Christ. So what is faith? Faith means trusting all that God promises us in Christ. That's the definition I found so helpful. I think it's biblical. Okay, so here's what we've seen so far. How do we live the Christian life? We ask that question. The answer is by faith. We're not just saved by faith. We live the Christian life by faith. And what is faith? Faith means trusting all that God promises us in Christ. So what does this look like in everyday life? How do we actually live by faith? Let's take an example. Imagine you have a sales job, and Monday morning, you have an appointment with a very important potential client. Big potential client. This would be your biggest sale ever, by far. This would just be like, wow, okay? Are you feeling it? All right. And you've worked really hard on your sales presentation. Man, you've worked, you've prayed, you've worked. But you wake up Monday morning and you're full of fear. You're worried. It's understandable. What if I mess up the sales presentation? What if he walks out saying, I think I'm going to go with your competitor? Ah, oh, you're worried, you're fearful, time's coming up. Ah, now, the fact that you've got fear and worry shows that you're not trusting God's promises. Let's just be real. You're not, okay? At that point, you're not trusting God's promises. You're not living by faith at that point. We all struggle with this, right? Okay, like numerous times through the day, we all do. You're not trusting all that God promises you in Christ. Now, there's something very important to understand about what's going on when you're not trusting God's promises in Christ. When you stop trusting God's promises, it's not that you stop trusting anything. We're always trusting something. Human beings are always trusting something to secure us and to satisfy us. Always. We're always trusting something to secure us. So when you turn from trusting God, it's not that you're not trusting. You're trusting something else to secure you and to satisfy you. But the problem is, everything else except for God will always disappoint you. It will always fail you. It will never come through with the goods. We've all experienced this enough to know that that's the truth, right? It doesn't secure you. It doesn't satisfy you. Only God, through Christ, can secure you and satisfy you. And that's why God warns us not to put our trust in other things. Let me give you some scriptures to show that. I want to make the point that when we stop trusting God and His promises in Christ, we are always trusting something else. Look at Isaiah 31, 1. Woe to those. That means something bad's going to happen, right? Woe means something bad's going to happen. Woe to those who trust in chariots. Well, what's wrong with trusting chariots? They're not God. That's what's wrong. Look at Isaiah 36, 6. You are trusting in Egypt, that broken reed. Okay, you're leaning on this thing that you think is going to be strong. It's going to hold you up. You're leaning on this, but it's a broken reed. It's going to fail you. You're trusting in Egypt, that broken reed. Don't trust anything else except for all that God has promised in Christ. And then one more example, Jeremiah 5, 17. They will destroy your fortified cities in which you trust. You're not trusting in God. You're trusting in your fortified cities, and they will be destroyed. So when we stop trusting God, we start trusting other things which will disappoint us. So there you are Monday morning. The reason you're fearful and worried is because you're not trusting God and His promises. Maybe you're trusting this sale. That sale, that's going to do it for me. That's going to secure me for a long time. That's going to make me feel so good to get that sale through. This will make me look really good in the company. It's going to be amazing. You're putting your trust in that sale. That's what's going to do it for you. Or maybe you're putting your trust in your abilities. I've got this. I'm going to nail this thing. Just keep positive. Both of those are broken reeds. Both of those are broken reeds. Even if you get the sale, it's not going to secure you and satisfy you like you think it will. So, what would it mean to live by faith Monday morning? Faith means trusting all that God promises me in Christ. So what has God promised about this sales meeting? What in the Bible has God promised about your sales meeting? You might think what you should do is just believe God for the sale. I mean, I'm just going to believe Him that it's going to happen. I'm going to keep positive. I'm going to get this. I'm going to do fine. I'm going to believe God for the sale. Is that what God wants us to do? I mean, you definitely should pray for the sale. Pray for it. Father, help me. Provide the sale for me. I pray in Jesus' name. But does God promise to give you the sale? This is really important for us to think about. Does God promise to give you the sale? You might think that's the point of promises like Psalm 34:10. Look what David says there. Psalm 34:10. He says, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Well, surely that sale would be a good thing, right? So if I seek the Lord enough, I'll get the sale, right? Is that what it means? I don't think that's what it means. We need to understand, what does the Bible mean by the word good? What does the Bible mean? God does promise us good. I love how he does that. But the good that God promises us is far, far better than any earthly good. And God does bless us with earthly goods. We're grateful for that. But the good that God promises us is far better than earthly goods. So what is the good that God promises always to give us? Lots of scriptures, but let me show this one to you. Psalm 73:28. The psalmist says, but for me, it is good to be near God. Numerous scriptures teach the same truth. The nearness of God is my good. The greatest good, the highest pleasure and joy by far that any human being can know is the nearness of God. The Father's presence filling our hearts, Jesus' nearness satisfying our hearts. There's nothing like knowing God through Christ. That's the greatest good. The most secure good, the most satisfying good is God's nearness. And God promises to work everything in our lives to bring us more of his nearness. That's what God promises. God does not promise to give you the sale. That might be a shock to some of you. Doesn't living by faith mean that you're always positive and you're always confident? I'm going to get this. I've got this. This is going to go great. That's not what living by faith means. Living by faith means trusting all that God promises in Christ. That's what it means. And his purpose is to bring you even more joy in him. Okay, so there you are Monday morning. What do? You're worried, you're fearful. You've not been trusting God's promises. You're trusting something else. What do? You find a relevant promise from the Bible that speaks to what you're dealing with. And you fight to trust that promise. So I pick Isaiah 41:10. It's one of my go-to promises. Look at Isaiah 41:10. You're fearful, you're worried. Fits Isaiah 41:10 perfectly. Here's the promise. God says, fear not, for I am with you. That's why you shouldn't be afraid. God's with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So you open up your Bible, you turn to Isaiah 41:10. You say, Father, I'm not trusting you right now. That's why I'm so worried. Strengthen my faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon me. Change my heart. Give me faith in this promise. And then you would fight for faith in this promise. You'd pray about each statement in this promise. And you would seek to consciously take your trust out of whatever else you're putting your trust in and putting it in God's promise here, which is true for you in Christ. Remember, you're coming to Isaiah 41:10. You're seeking to trust this, and God says, yes, right? Because every promise is yes for us in Jesus Christ. So here's how I might pray this. Start reading the first line. Fear not, for I am with you. Oh God, you're not distant. You're not aloof. You're here with me right now, and you're in complete control of what happens at this sales meeting today. Oh, God's with me. You're trusting that. You're praying about that. That's powerful stuff. Beautiful promise. Next, be not dismayed. God says, I am your God. What does it mean that God is your God? It means that all of God's power and all of his wisdom and all of his love is focused on bringing you the greatest good, which is even more joy in his nearness. It's coming. So whatever happens with the sales meeting, whatever happens, more joy, more of the greatest joy is going to be mine as an outcome. Whether I get it or whether I don't, it's going to be a win. Remember when I used to be in real estate years ago, planning a church, anyway, long story. Remember one time it dawned on me, whether this escrow closes or not, I'm either going to win if it closes or I'm going to win if it doesn't close. Because God's going to do whatever's going to bring me the greatest joy in him. Okay, Alex, real estate agents. Okay, here we go. All right. Look at the next promise. I will strengthen you. I'm feeling weak now, Father. I'm worried. I'm fearful. But no matter how weak I feel, you will strengthen me. Strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen my faith, my peace, my hope in you. Bring me peace now. Bring me rest in you. And what does God say when you bring these promises? He says, yes. Remember? He says yes. Does he ever say no to people who are trusting Christ? No, he never says no. He says yes every time. I will help you. Lord, this is not up to me. You will help me with this sales presentation, and you'll help me with the result. You're going to help me. You'll be there helping me every minute of this morning. You're going to be there helping me. And then last, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. No matter what happens, you're going to support me with your comfort, your peace, your joy. So I pray through this promise, just like that. And then I pray that I get the sale. I pray for that too. Don't neglect that. Pray, ask God, give me the sale. Help me to do a really great job. Help me to connect with this client. Help me to be truthful. Help me to accurately describe the product, whatever it is. Help me. I pray for the sale. And as you do this, praying over this promise, praying for the sale, as you do this, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon you and will use this promise to change your heart and to strengthen your faith. And you will meet God in this promise, and that will make all the difference for you. And you've lived by faith. You're living by faith. That's what living by faith is. That's what I want to call you to do. Some of you are already doing that. Keep doing it. I hope you get even stronger in that as a result of these next couple of weeks in this series. Some of you maybe have never lived that way. Some of you maybe have been trying to live the Christian life by your own effort. I've got to stop worrying. I've got to stop being afraid here. No, open up promises. This is the help that God gives us. So let me give you three steps, three takeaways that I would encourage you to take this week to grow in living by faith. Number one, start each day entrusting all of your concerns to God's promises. Start off each day. Pray over everything that concerns you and find relevant promises that you can fight to trust regarding that concern. Start each day entrusting all of your concerns to God's promises. That's number one. Number two, throughout the day, strengthen your faith in God's promises. I would encourage you, whenever you find your heart lacking peace, I'm not trusting some promise. One of God's promises, I'm not trusting. Find the promises that are relevant to what you're worried about. And in the middle of the day, ask God to strengthen your faith in that promise. Fight the fight of faith, that promise. If you find your heart being pulled away from Christ, something else has your affections in your heart more than Jesus Christ does, or you're being tempted in some way, it's a battle for faith there. So find relevant promises and fight. Battle. Consciously take your trust out of whatever else you're trusting and put it back into God's promise, which is true for you in Jesus Christ. So throughout the day, strengthen your faith in God's promises. And then third, you're thinking, where do I find all these? I don't know very many promises. Where do I find more promises? We've got these beautiful, a promise for every problem battle guide. We've got a bunch of them we printed off. You can pick one up on your way out. We've got a list of like temptations and symptoms down this side. Here, 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 and then promises here. Promises here. Promises here, and you got it. Promises here, okay? Get one of these on the way out. These are all promises I found helpful. Share promises with each other. There's lots more promises than the ones I've written down here, but I found all these very helpful. But Grace Church, let's be a church just like Abraham. We grow strong in faith, giving glory to God. This city needs churches who are strong in faith, believers who are strong in faith, and we give glory to God as a result. Let's grow strong in faith, giving glory to God. And let's start this week. Let's stand. Thank you, Father, that what you call us to do is trust you. That means we can come weak. We can come needy. We can come with problems. And we can trust you. You don't call us to solve everything first, to be strong. You call us to come and trust you. What a merciful, glorious God you are through Jesus Christ. We praise you. We thank you. And I ask that you would help us to grow in living by faith. And I pray for those here this afternoon who are not yet trusting Christ, who've not yet been saved by faith, Lord, right now, touch their hearts, draw them to turn from their sin, put their trust in Christ, and have the door opened to all of your promises, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.